Good morning. It's wonderful to have you all here this morning. Please join me in singing the doxology, hymn number 549. The doxology 549. Is hymn number 710. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Be silent before God, my soul. He bears my salvation. Yes, he is my rock and help, my fortress. I will not be shaken. Whoever sits in the shadow of the highest, who sleeps in the shade of the Almighty, the eternal God is your dwelling place. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Confess that the Lord is good, that his kindness endures. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 99, What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine. Hymn number 99, What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine. Gracious God, we come before you just as we are. And Lord, we have a special request this morning, and God, we lift up to you right now Kevin and his family. God, we would ask that your will would be upon them, that you would intervene where it is needed by the presence of your Spirit, that you would help Kevin and his family overcome the challenges that they are facing. And Lord, we just lift him up to you in prayer right now. And God, we think of other family members and of friends. We think of patients throughout this medical center. We think of the staff that are working and the family members that will be visiting. Lord, we lift them all up to you in prayer. And God, we would ask that you'd remind them always of your presence in their lives. And Lord, we are so grateful as we call out to you in prayer that we think of our needs that we have. And you remind us again and again that no need is too small and that no need is too big for you. And Lord, we just lift those things up to you right now. We pray for each other as we have come here to worship, to find a better way in our lives as we desire to follow you and look up to you in all things in our lives. And God, we would ask that you would give us the confidence and the strength that we need to do that. And God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for joining me in prayer this morning. Our next hymn this morning is 110, Take Time to Be Holy. Take Time to Be Holy, number 110. Make friends of Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 57, verses 1 through 10. Have mercy on me, my God. Have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will not take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path. They have fallen into it themselves. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the sky. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, as we have been worshiping you, we have taken the time to just pause in the quietness of this chapel, in the quietness of our own hearts. And Lord, I would just ask that as we continue that act of worship, that you will speak to us in quietness of spirit in all things. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I'm in a training situation where I'm trying to instruct other people, I want them to get it. You know what I'm talking about? Anytime you've instructed, anytime you've ever taught other people, your goal is to get them to get it, to get them to understand what they're supposed to be doing, the tasks that are involved. And last weekend, I was part of a training event where we were talking about interpersonal skills and relationships, and I was trying really hard for the people to get it. And I was frustrated because you get that sense sometimes when people are not hearing what you want them to hear and you're trying really hard to say the right things. So I was talking with one of the instructors, and as we were talking about the training and how it was going, one of the things that the instructor said to me is, number one, he has learned that even though we try the best that we can, we don't have the responsibility in terms of the outcomes that people do, in terms of what they decide to do. And he was also sharing that he has found that as you give information to people, that as that information is processed, it is the perception, right? So as I am preaching to you this morning, you have a perception in terms of the information that I am giving you. And if you take that information and you add perception to it, it is going to be your reality, right? So we take that information that we take, that we gather in life, we look at it through the perception of who we are, the filters in terms of who we are as human beings, and the reality is the end result. And as I thought about that, I also thought about the times that I come and I preach here, and I wonder, how am I doing with the information that I am processing? I can't control your perception, but we try to at least present in the chapel a place in which there is an act of worship for everyone that comes here, regardless of what you believe in, regardless of whether you like the bald-headed chaplain that is preaching to you. We want you to have the perception that worship is taking place here. I don't know what your reality is, but I know that I have been reminded again and again as I preach the Word of God as best as I can, that outcome is your responsibility. And my responsibility is to try to provide each and every one that comes here to worship an experience for that half hour or 40 minutes, that somehow you make that connection in all the different things we do. It might be the hymns that we sing, the prayers that we offer, the communion that we do. It might be just the presence of others. It reminds us that we are not alone in terms of who we are in our walk through life. But once again, that outcome for reality is your responsibility and not mine. But yet it doesn't mean that we don't have responsibilities to each other to help each other gain a better understanding, so that as we process that information and we look at it through our perception, that our reality is one in which it can be the best possible reality that we can have. The peace, I think, that all of us want to have. The reality that we know that we can go to God regardless of our problems, regardless of the situations that we might be in, regardless of the things that we have done in the past. And the psalmist here gives us a journey in which he is feeling down and out about the situation that he is in. And his reality, I think, is pretty dark and pretty deep. He feels that there are a lot of people that are against him for a variety of reasons. But yet he looks to God. He looks to God even in those difficult circumstances. We're sharing with someone and they were talking about once again how a lot of people say those people that go to chapel or those people that go to church or those people that worship God, that they're a bunch of hypocrites. And that because we go to chapel or because we go to church that somehow we are better and that we have a condescending attitude towards others. I personally don't like people that are condescending. I personally don't like people that have that attitude of self-righteousness that somehow they have done it better. I just don't know what your sin is if you have a condescending attitude. I don't know what your problems are. You just do a very good job to keep everybody at bay so they don't get close to you to see what truly you are as a person. And as we were talking about the whole idea of hypocrisy and self-righteousness and condescending attitude, we were sharing the idea of the fact is that we as followers of Jesus Christ should not have that attitude. In fact, it should be reflected in the fact that we look up to God, not down at others. And that's exactly what the psalmist is telling us here this morning, that he is not looking down on others, but he is looking up to God for the circumstances that he finds himself facing. And God wants us to do that. God wants us to look at our circumstances in our lives and not look down on anyone or anything, but look up to God. Look up to God. Cry out to God for the needs that you have within your life. And we struggle with that because we're trying to take the information of our lives. We're trying to take the perceptions that we have, and we're trying to make a reality in life in which we can enjoy life, in which we can live the way that God has intended us to live. And so we need to be careful. We need to be able to take that information, and we need to exercise discernment. We need to look at that information, and we need to evaluate it. We need to see those things that are harmful to us, those things that are harmful to others, those things that enrich our lives, those things that enrich the lives of other people. So we need to have that discernment. So anytime you read something, anytime you listen to something, anytime you see something, anytime you experience something, what is that information that you are taking in? And how does it affect your perception? If you go into a situation in which you're pretty open about the things that you want to learn and understand, or if you go in a situation where you're pretty closed about things that you want to learn and understand, That's going to affect how you intake that information. It's going to affect your perception, whether you're open to the things that you potentially could be learning about yourself and others, or whether you're closed to the whole idea of any type of ideas or training or philosophy that might potentially give you an opportunity to enrich your life and to make it better. And the psalmist is trying to understand that. He's crying out to God. He's talking about those that, through his reality, those that are after him, those that are trying to hurt him. And in the same way within our own lives, a lot of times we look at our circumstances and we see those things in which we feel that people are against us. The system is against us. Institutions are against us. And we become frustrated. We cry out, maybe not in a public setting, but we cry out within our own hearts, within our own minds, about the circumstances that we are facing. And we ask those questions that many times we don't share with others. We ask those questions about why, and why did these things happen to me? Why did I find myself in these circumstances? And we cry out to God about the people that have hurt us, about the people that have betrayed us. But God wants us to be reminded of the fact that he always loves us for who we are, regardless of the circumstances in which we find ourselves in. And God wants us to be open to those things in which our lives can be made better, in which our lives can be enriched. And yes, people are probably against you, like I feel sometimes people are against me. And yes, like you, I also feel that institutions are against me, and they seem to be counterproductive to the things in which they have been established for. But always remember this. Institutions are made out of people, and people are imperfect. And if you got up this morning and if you looked in the mirror like I did to comb my hair, I saw a lot of imperfection in my life. And in the same way, I would make an educated guess to say that there are things in your life in which are imperfect. But it doesn't excuse people's behavior. It doesn't give an excuse for injustice. It just gives us a perception that perhaps it will help us to understand our feelings and emotions about those circumstances. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Because we make a decision within our own lives every day how we are going to lead it. We make a decision in our lives within our hearts, within our minds, the emotional part of us. We make that decision in terms of how our day is going to be reflected within our own lives. We take the information of that day, the things that perhaps we are going to be doing, and we take our perceptions that we have. I cannot change your perceptions. I cannot change the filters that you have. But I can present to you perhaps some other perceptions that you need to consider, and perhaps some filters that maybe you need to consider. Because that will lead to whatever your reality is going to be on that given day. It's going to be how you see the world in which you are a part of. I am not a kind of person that is a Pollyanna kind of person, right? Where everything's going to be fine and everything's going to be joyful and everything's going to be beautiful. I don't walk around with a smile on my face all the time. In fact, I don't trust people that walk around with a smile on their face all the time. But what I can say to you is your attitude about how you meet the day is so important. Even when things around you are going wrong, the outcomes that you are hoping for are not the way that you want them to go. And the psalmist here at the end cries out and praises God, lifts God up, looks up to God. He sings songs, praises God, identifies with God's love, with God's compassion. Even when things are not going that great, God wants us always to be able to listen to Him. Listening to Him through His Word, listening to Him through prayer, listening to Him through music, listening to Him through the conversations of people that are around us, listening to Him through the life in which He has given us. But within our own lives, we follow a track that we have created. I follow the track that I have created through my life. And you can change that track. You can change the reality in which you perceive your life. And it is based on your relationship with God. It is based on that relationship through His Son, Jesus Christ, that you have and that I have. It is based on the understanding that if we have accepted Christ, that all of the things that we have done wrong, all of the mistakes that we have made, all of the sins that we have committed, was taken upon Christ. And that those things are no more. Those things should no longer be a part of our lives. And they are no longer a part of our lives. Not in the eyes of God. But we hold on to those things. We hold on to the things that we have done in the past that we should let go of. Because they are no longer in the purview of God's eyes when He is looking at us in our relationship with Him. They should no longer be there. They should no longer apply. Can we learn from them? Yes. Can we get wisdom and understanding from them? Yes. Can we pass on that learning to others? Yes. But we are not responsible for the outcome of others. I am not responsible for the outcome of worship that we have here in chapel. I hope and pray that it is a good outcome, that within the brief 30 minutes that we might have, that you walk away with something in which you can use it for that day, maybe just for the next hour, maybe just for a few minutes. But God wants us to grow and to prosper every day, in all things, in all situations in which we find ourselves. And we turn to God. We cry out to those things to God that bother us, that give us anxiety, that make us mad, that make us angry about the circumstances. But then as we find ourselves, as we're crying out to God, He reminds us through His love that He wants us to have trust in Him. He wants us to have praise in Him. He wants to testify about the relationship that we each have with each other that reveals our relationship with God. And that He wants us to have that reassurance that the things in our lives that have separated us from God has been settled. All the accounts, all the books, all the things that we keep track of, God has said to each and every one of us, they are no more if you accept what my Son, Jesus Christ, did for you and did for me on the cross. And then we can praise God. Then we can cry out to God in all goodness and all the difficulties that we are facing. Because it is in those moments when we put everything before God and we praise God, they were able to see the circumstances for what they truly are in our lives. We are able to make the best possible decisions that we can make based on the information that is provided for us, because our perception has been changed, in which we take that information and we do our best that we can to see that information through God's eyes, because now we are a son, now we are a daughter of God because of our relationship through Jesus Christ. And we begin to see His vision for our lives, and our perception begins to change, and we see the reality of our lives as something that is good, something that can benefit others, something in which we can share our journey, we can share our mistakes, we can share the things that we struggle with, and we have a sense of openness that people are willing to come to us. Because there is no condescension. There is no condemning of anyone that comes to us. Because we have allowed ourselves to be vulnerable. And we allow ourselves to be vulnerable to the things of God. We allow ourselves to be vulnerable to each other. And that enriches our lives. Because our reality now is open to the things of God. And every step that we take, every decision that we make, because we know that as we walk with God, God is there with us, doesn't mean that problems are going to go away, doesn't mean that we're not going to have anxieties, doesn't mean that we're not going to have frustrations or anger, but when those things do occur, we go right back to God and say, God, help me deal with those things in my life that I know are not good for me. Help me, God, in my life to want to praise You, that want to worship You, that want to see Your love in all the creation that You have made in my life. And when we take that perception, our reality is enriched, our reality is renewed, our reality is so vital, and we begin to see things in a very unique and special way because we see those things through the eyes of God. Amen. Please take a few moments and prepare your hearts for communion. And it is always a blessed time when we take communion together, because it gives us that opportunity to publicly testify to the fact of our relationship with God, and that we want to see life through God's eyes, and we identify with what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that You have given us this blessed opportunity to change our perception. And in doing so, God, we change the reality of our lives to walk with You. And God, remind us that our sins have been forgiven because of what Your Son, Jesus Christ, did for us on the cross. And we partake of this communion, identifying with that event that we are Your followers, and we love You and appreciate You for all that You have done. Lord, we are so thankful. Thank You for forgiving us and loving us just the way we are. In Christ's name, amen. Lord, what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Please join me for our closing hymn, number 137, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." Thankful that you have guided and directed our time of worship. And Lord, we know that the outcomes that have been provided have been through your Spirit. Help us to look to you for all things. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming. Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here this morning, and please join with me as we sing the doxology, number 549. Is hymn number 707. Do not save riches here on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and robbers break in and steal. Instead, save riches in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and robbers cannot break in and steal. For your heart will always be where your riches are. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 99, What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine, hymn number 99. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have given us this wonderful opportunity to worship here in this chapel. And God, we just rejoice in this opportunity that we have. And we are so thankful for the service, men and women that have provided this opportunity that we can enjoy the practice of religion freely. And Lord, we acknowledge their sacrifices for all the service, men and women that have served this country in the armed forces. And God, we just praise you for them and also for the families that have endured the sacrifice and the suffering along with them. And Lord, as we come before you with the needs and requests that we have in our lives, Lord, we think of our personal and individual needs. Lord, the challenges that we are facing, the wisdom that we are seeking, the discernment that we want to have so that we can make the right decisions in all things and do the things that honor you in every aspect of our lives. God, we'd ask that you would help us to do that because we understand that we can accomplish it with your strength and with your power. Lord, we think of the needs of fellow patients that are throughout this medical center, family members that will be visiting, the staff that is working here today. And Lord, we lift those needs up to you as well. We think of family members and of friends. And Lord, we just pray for all of them that you just call to mind right now through the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives. And Lord, we lift them up to you in prayer. And Lord, we just ask that you would just continue to bless this time that we have together. And we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 303, I Serve a Risen Savior. Number 303, I Serve a Risen Savior. Singing with me. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Except the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters, one person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord, so that whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Amen. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that you have given this time of worship to each and every one of us. And Lord, we just are so thankful. And God, I would ask that you would help me say those things that we all need to hear so that you would be edified in our lives, and so that as other people look at our lives, they would see that we truly do represent you. Help me now, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I think sometimes when we look at this scripture verse that we've just read, we think of the different things in terms of how we eat. And one of the things that we joke about in the military as to whether a person is a meat eater or whether a person is a vegetarian. Have you ever heard that term before? I know I have. And they kind of categorize each other based on what they think, not in terms of their actual diet, but their attitude about their service and their dedication to the military. The scriptures that we have read this morning tells us that in everything, regardless of what our choices are, God is there in everything that we do, and therefore we are to give thanks. And there's something here I think that all of us should understand, that the fact that God gives us that opportunity to give thanks, and whether we have a special preference to perhaps a something to eat, or whether a special preference in terms of a sacred day of worship, or whether all the days are alike, that God looks at what we believe in as long as it is representational of our following of Jesus Christ, that those things are okay, in which we just have our personal and individual choices. Now, I need to be careful to say to you that those things that God wants us to be concerned about is how we evaluate and how we judge others in their actions. Now, what is not being said here is that if you are doing wrong, that somehow it is right. Wrong will always be wrong. But they're talking about the preferences that are really, truly not important in terms of our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. About whether a person is a vegetarian or whether a person eats meat, whether a person considers certain days more sacred than the other. Those are the individual choices that you and I make in terms of having a clear conscience in honoring God. And therefore, we are not to judge others just because of the differences in how they interpret Scripture or in different ways that they feel that certain things are more sacred than others. The end result is the same and should be the same, that whatever we're doing in word and in deed, that it brings honor to God and we ask God to bless what we're doing. And if you are doing the wrong thing, it is not bringing honor to God and God is not going to bless it. But God gives us choices to make individually. And I am so thankful that He gives us the opportunity to make those little individual choices, the preferences that we have based on our relationship with God, based on our experience in terms of what we value, what is important to us in terms of the overall understanding of our relationship with God. If I was a vegetarian and if I felt it was important for me to maintain a vegetarian diet because I believed it was honoring to God, then so be it. That we should honor those people that have those differences. If I am a meat eater, which I am, and I choose to eat meat every time I can, I do so because I believe in the same way, as long as I'm giving thanks, that the nutrition, that the diet that I am eating is honoring God. Those things make no difference in the eyes of God. And we should not allow those things to separate us as body believers in Jesus Christ. But yet, they do. We have certain different groups of the traditional Christian way of life that do things a little differently in terms of what they believe in. And they honor those things, and they treat those things as being sacred and something that they need to do in their spiritual walk with God. The Lord bless them and keep them doing that. Those of us that make other choices to do certain things, then in the same way that we are honoring and blessing God, then we should have the same response to us, and they should have the same response to us as well. God bless them and keep them, because what they're doing is honoring God. So we have that freedom. We have that understanding of conscience that God wants us to have. And as long as we are honoring Christ and what we're doing, then so be it. But yet somehow, we are very quick to judge others that just seem to be a little bit different than we are, because it makes us uneasy. When we are around other people that perhaps follow Jesus Christ in a different way in terms of maybe what they eat or what days are sacred to them, it makes us feel a little uncomfortable, because obviously we as human beings want people to agree with us in all things. And we become uncomfortable because people don't agree with us 100%. But that's what makes us different in the eyes of God. God did not make us all the same. And we honor God when we are not all the same. Because if we were all the same, then only a certain type of person would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we would not be fulfilling the Great Commission in terms of going to all the world and sharing the gospel, the good news, the truth about God through His Son, Jesus Christ, if we were all the same, because how could we attract others? So God individually uses us as His vessels, as His instruments, because you and I respond to and can attract different people just on based on who we are, based on our different experiences, based on our education, based on the things that how we have come to know God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because all of us have had a different way and a different path to God. All of us grow and mature in a different way and a different path with God. But in the same way, we need to understand that just because my journey and my path is different than yours, that yours is not wrong and mine is not wrong. As long as we are honoring God and doing good in all things and thanking God for the paths that we're on, that's all that God says He cares about. Because Jesus Christ came and returned to life so that He is both the Lord of the dead and the living. And we need to praise God for that. We need to understand that in our conscience, we serve a Lord that is both Lord over the dead and the living. Not just for the life that we have right now in the present, but the life that is to come. One of our patients died suddenly this week, and he would come to the chapel every Sunday and worship with us, along with his wife, and on the holiday occasions when we would have different types of holiday services here, his family would come and worship with him as well. But he is now with the Lord, and I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss his wife, and on those special holiday occasions when we worshiped together and when my family was here, we would joke about the fact that we would have this choir competition, because his family would sit on this side of the chapel, my family would sit on this side of the chapel, and we'd have this kind of fun competition as we would sing hymns together during Easter, during Christmas, to honor the Lord. But that's not going to happen anymore. But I rejoice in the fact that the Lord that was honoring us today, the Lord that is honoring us this morning, Those of us that are alive physically, in the same way, the Lord is being honored in heaven with the person that we will miss from this chapel. He is with the Lord now, and we can rejoice in that. And we see that as we are walking with God, we are reminded again and again, it's about how we live for the Lord. And as we live for the Lord, we should have no fear about how we die as long as we are doing the things that are for the Lord, that is honoring God. And that is the freedom that we have that God wants us to experience. He gives us an understanding as we walk with God, as we experience God. And that uniqueness is what brings others to Christ. Because we are to go into all of the world. We are to preach the gospel to everyone. And it is in that matter of the fact that as we worship God here on Sunday morning, we do so because it is that freedom of conscience that we have that allows us to do that. And as we pray on Sunday mornings, we always remember the servicemen and women of our armed forces that have served us in this nation, that have made those different sacrifices, so you and I can exercise the freedom that we have to worship the way that we want. And we're an example of that sacrifice, of those servicemen and women. And that sacrifice was made in such a way that you and I could live with the conscience that God has given us. And we honor them. We honor them in such a way that it is for the living, but also for the dead. Because we have an opportunity in this country as we worship freely to bring others to Jesus Christ so they too can understand what it is to experience the faith and conscience that we have had and that we have in the present and that we have in the future. Because God wants us to live for Him, because we know that as our life draws to an end, we should not be afraid. But we should rejoice with open arms because we know that the Lord that is with us now will be the Lord after we have died. The same God that we worship. The same Christ that we have accepted now in the living will be with us after we have died. And we rejoice in that. We honor God. So the promise of freedom, promise of conscience that God has given us is empty and it is of no value unless we exercise it. And God wants us to exercise that freedom. God wants us to exercise the conscience that He has given us to do the right thing in our lives. As we've been talking about over the last couple of Sundays, the whole idea of being addicted to doing good and what that represents. I was reading something earlier this week and speaking with another chaplain, and we were talking about one of the passages that we were reading that can give you the understanding, or at least can lead you to the understanding, that how many of us are addicted to complaining about the circumstances in our lives. And I must admit that I think I am addicted to complaining about certain things. Some things I don't care about and I don't really complain about a lot of things, but there are certain things, man, I tell you what, I complain. In fact, the other day I was complaining about something and a good friend of mine would said, oh, should we start playing the violins and the harps and the big sob story, you know what I'm talking about, when we start whining about things just to whine. But you know what? God has reminded us that in our lives with Him, that even the times that we are complaining, even the times that we are whining about our circumstances that are not the way that we want them to be. God says, hey, you know what? Are you thankful? Are you thankful for the circumstances that you are in? And God tells us in His Spirit, yes, I hear you complaining. Yes, I hear you whining. But are you thankful about it? Because those are the circumstances that I have placed you in. Because I want you to grow, and I want you to mature, and I want you to find out more about yourself so that you can walk closer to me. And as I thought about that, all of a sudden my whining and complaining turned into something completely different. It turned into a way in which that I could honor God even in those most difficult circumstances that I complain and that I whine about. And it's interesting, when we find ourselves honestly with God in those circumstances, because then we truly see what God wants us to be. And many times we say, God, I can't measure up to that. I can't be that person that you want me to be. God says, yes, you can. You can do it in my strength. You can do it in my power. You can be addicted to good. You can take those complaints and that whining and turn it into something very special, and where you gain so much insight about yourself that you can share it with others to give them the same wisdom and discernment that I am giving you. And I must confess that there are times that it takes me a while to see those circumstances, to see those struggles that are in my life the way that God wants me to see them, so that I can have that perspective that God wants me to have, so that I can be content in my circumstances. And in that contentment, I am not to judge others who do things a little differently than I do. Because as long as they're being done for the Lord, as long as they're honoring God, then I should have nothing to say about it, because we are both living for God. We are both living for the Lord. We are understanding that as we live for the Lord, the things that we do give Him the glory and the worship that He desires from us, so that we can draw closer to Him. And then those circumstances begin to build in a positive way in our lives. And maybe there are times when we still feel down and we still feel in the low, deep valleys. But we don't stay there as long as we used to, because we know what we need to do to get our way back out. I shared with you a month ago that as I was hiking the Grand Canyon and going rim to rim, the difficult experiences that I found there spiritually. But yet God helped me to see the way that I needed to go so that I could work my way out. And in the same way, in the different struggles and circumstances that we have, God gives us the discernment and the understanding that He wants us to have to work our way out with His strength and with His guidance, with His wisdom, with His compassion, with His love. So this morning, as we take on the rest of the day, the question I think for each and every one of us is, in all that we are doing, in word and in deed, is it bringing honor and glory to God through His Son, Jesus Christ? Because if it is, then we are exercising the conscience that God wants us to have. We're exercising the privilege that we have and the freedom that we have acquired through our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We've embraced the whole idea of the forgiveness of our sins. We've embraced the whole idea of the grace that God has given us. We embrace the whole idea of the truth that has truly set us free. And we are trusting by faith each day, God, take who I am and make me something better than I was the day before. And we see that in our actions. We see that in terms of how we care for each other. We see that in the deep meaning of our conscience. And what I mean by the deep meaning of our conscience is the things that we think about that no one else knows about. The processes within our mind that can be good and can be evil. The things that only you and God see. And that's where it all begins for us to exercise the person that God wants us to be. That's where it begins, the whole idea of the contentment that God wants us to have. And in the same way, that's where the judgment begins when we start looking at judging others, is in the deep recesses of our own conscience in terms of how we actually think and feel about the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And it reveals who we truly are and how we truly feel about others. And once again, as we've been talking about the whole idea of to be able to be addicted to doing good, and doing so we can love ourselves, and in doing so we can love others. It all begins within the deep recesses of our conscience in terms of how we respond and act to God. And only you and God know those things. And that's where God wants us to be reminded of the fact that Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Is Christ, who returned to life, the Lord of your conscience, the Lord of your living, the Lord of your impending death? That is something that we need to take time to ask ourselves. Because if he is the Lord of you living today, he will be the Lord for you dying tomorrow, because we don't know when that's going to take place. But God knows this, that he loves you and that he cares for you. And he wants you to accept him. He wants you to understand what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. And in doing that, you embrace that whole idea of accepting the fact that God does love you. And you begin to live for him in a newness of life that you've never experienced before, regardless of how long you might have been affiliated with the church. Regardless of how long you think you've been a Christian, each day is a new day in which we experience God in a different way. And we do so by our openness of our conscience to him, by the openness that reveals who we truly are as we walk with him. It is my hope and prayer that we have that openness with God in all things, and that we see God in our lives the way that God needs to be seen, and that our conscience is cleansed, that our conscience favors the good and fights back against the evil. And we do that when we know that Christ died and returned to life, because he is Lord of both the dead and the living. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for the living God that we worship. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful that you have reminded us again and again how you want us to live. And Lord, you know that in the deep recesses of our conscience, there's always that struggle going on between good and evil. And Lord, we always want to do good, but yet we struggle with the evil part. And Lord, you know that. We can't hide it from you, because everything is revealed to you through our conscience. And Lord, I would ask that you would help us to understand that you are the Lord of everything of our lives, including the deep recesses of our conscience, because that's where we truly meet you, God. That's truly who we are in terms of our relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we just thank you for this time that we can publicly just say, Lord, my conscience is flawed. My conscience many times does more bad than it does good. And Lord, we are so thankful that you forgive us and that you empower us with your grace so that we can just get better for you. Thank you, God, that we can publicly be and identify the testimony through your communion. In Christ's name, amen. Receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is number 153. "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide." Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you abide with us in life and in death. And God, as we are abiding with you now, help us to make our conscience in such a way that it honors you as much as it possibly can. And help us with the struggles that we have within our conscience to want to do more, to be addicted to doing good. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.